deep. So we are diving for the dark. We're diving for the dark. Winter solstice magic is here. Let's see. Aha. Are we good? Winter solstice magic is here. The cats have been playing with the microphone, apparently. I think we're good. Yes? So, winter solstice magic, hello? I think so. Oh. Okay. Don't know what to say about that. In a tunnel. Well, it's a quirky time. We're in Mercury's retrograde shadow. So I'm not sure. We'll play with this. Sound off mic. Well, we will proceed. Okay, thank you. That's right. Okay, so we deal with kerfuffles, all kerfuffles incentive to experiment. So briefly, winter solstice magic with three woofy women. The year of woofy women is drawing to a close. The era of woofy women is unfurling. So me and Emma Kayla Gaston and Carolyn Brandy will be drumming and calling in what needs to happen. That will be a Zoom. You can find out about that at coyotenetworknews.com. All right, now, here we are. So we are in Fun Drive, and we will explain more, but part of it is we are honoring our great ally, Stephen Buhner, practicing botanical animist, polymath, who went backstage last Thursday, December 8th, and we are re-guesting Stephen's herbal bardic colleague, Sean Patrick O'Donohue, that we may embrace the assignment Stephen be handing to us. We're playing excerpts from two of his shows. They're so good. They are included in our premium audio collection and touting his fantabulous book, Plant Intelligence in the Imaginal Realms, also offered as a premia. The audio collection can be had, we'll talk more about it, but for a pledge of $100 and Stephen's book for a pledge of $150 or $15 a month. And as you know by now, you know, pledging any amount, you will automatically get, you know, Howard Zinn's, you know, wonderful recording on about his book, A People's History of the United States. Wonderful ally Bob Baldock's longtime public event producer speaks to Sasha Lilly about his life on the left, fighting with Fidel Castro, fighting, you know, in alignment with Fidel Castro. But welcome, Stephen. Sean. I guess
yes,
I'm welcoming Stephen Krushan.
Let's welcome Stephen as well.
Let's welcome Stephen as well. We will implore him. I just was lighting the ancestral Mpepu Muti to honor Stephen further and to call in his logistical help as well. So we have some wonderful clips. Is there anything that you want to say before we play clip one and I figure out the microphone?
I think about the very first moments that I met Stephen when he was teaching at Rosemary Gladstar's Sage Mountain in Vermont. And he sat down and looked at us all and said, "You must understand, I am a barbarian." And then he proceeded to speak words I had read written, but hadn't fully taken in. He said, "If we eat the wild, it begins to work inside us, altering us, changing us. Soon, if we eat too much, we will no longer fit the suit that has been made for us. Our hair will begin to grow long and ragged. Our gait and how we hold our body will change. A wild light begins to gleam in our eyes. Our words start to sound strange, nonlinear, emotional, unpractical, poetic." And that exact moment, I was about a year out from having first read those words, and I had just quit my steady nonprofit job in the middle of a great recession and decided to go live in a van on a friend's land and talk with the plants. And I realized that those words had already been working deeply inside me. And I think Stephen recognized something in my eyes in that moment, knew that I had tasted the wild. And from that moment, he just embraced me with such kindness of a fellow traveler who had walked further ahead on the path and would aid and guide me however he could, just as he did for so many.
and for us, and we've both been listening to his fabulous radio show that we're going to play a clip of right now. And we can riff on the other side and pitch for the station and pitch for Steven Buhner. But it was hard to edit because the whole show was so, both of those shows included in our audio collection are so great. But let's go with, we're starting with clip one, which is about 9 minutes, but very rich. And we'll come back, Sean and I, on the other side and say more and regale you more and magnetize worthy pledges. So here we go, clip one.
The thing is, it's inevitable. Sooner or later, the wall will crash down, and every bacterial researcher and epidemiologist in the world, without exception, is saying that we will then experience epidemics more potent than any humankind has ever known. And what will happen is, it's payback time. So all of the lives we saved on the front end will be lost on the back end because we've put things out of balance. We didn't allow the inevitability of biodegrading. We are biodegrading now as I speak. We are meant to biodegrade. And that's the way that it is. But becoming alienated from death, just as much as we've become alienated from our own lives, then that whole dynamic has unsettled everything. So we can't approach it honorably anymore, but mostly with fear and with a great deal of aggression. And it's, you know, it's just gotten us into a really terrible circumstance.
So what would your wise counsel be on as many levels as you want to go for humans to address viruses or the Ebola virus in Africa?
Well, the thing is, for instance, most people don't know that most pharmaceuticals aren't biodegradable. Antibiotics aren't biodegradable. Once they go into the system, they keep doing what they're doing year after year after year forever. So they forced alterations in the bacterial underpinnings of the plant more serious than any seen for 2.5 billion years. Okay, so the thing is, if we were going to keep them, they could only be used in the most serious of instances and where you exactly knew what the bacteria was and you were choosing the exact antibiotic for it. So, but the thing is, plant medicines, which I've talked about for a very long time, they don't cause resistance problems. And you have to understand these bacteria infect plants too. Plants can't go to the doctor. Plants can't go to the hospital. Plants can't call 911. So what they do is they analyze the bacteria and they make a solution. And that solution changes because evolution is not stopped. The chemical construction and dynamics in a plant 10 years ago are not the same as they are now, which is why standardization of plant medicines is stupid, okay? Because they're constantly shifting that chemical armamentarium as the bacteria also shift their responses. So what happens is when you use plants sophisticatedly as medicines for bacterial or viral infections, what you get is you get a higher level of death constantly, but you don't get massive epidemics. You don't get this problem with bacterial resistance. You actually, over the long run, have a lower number of human deaths than you do if you use pharmaceuticals, just the way it works. That's the solution. And then also, plant medicines are sustainable. They biodegrade quite nicely. You can grow them in your yards. They're not high-tech. Anybody can make them and use them. And I think that's part of the problem is that it doesn't fit into sort of an elite network very easily. It's the people's medicine. And I'm pretty much of an anarchist about that. I believe in the people. I believe in their inherent genius. I believe in their ability to care for themselves. I believe in their ability to find solutions because they're the ones that are dealing with the problems. And that I just trust them more.
And if we say that, you know, if embraced, then stress and complexity can be an evolutionary assist. I mean, just to one side, yeah, anarchism, you know, in its real meaning, without a leader. Murray Bookchin, a great anarchist writer, that I read all the anarchists as part of my deal. He is a primary influence on the women Kurdish fighters in Katani. And people have said, what if, because they are embracing this. And so that's over to one importance. inside, but we go, right, you know, the idea of being a self-organizing community. And people have said, what if the Kurdish self-organizing dedication becomes a model, you know, kind of based on biology around the world? And we go, okay, that's over there. But back to but back to viruses. We can go on forever, Stephen. But back to viruses. I mean, just to consolidate what you've put on the table. But you know, in your splendid book, again, Plant Intelligence by Stephen Buhner, viruses are self-organized, a swarm composed of many individuals, so we could learn about self-organizing. But you say human beings moving into previously undisturbed echo range represent, in essence, the introduction of a new predator species. Yeah, so the viral storm. So what would be our form of reverence and applied kind of pragmatic mysticism to resolve? So you were mentioning bacteria, but how should we best dance with viruses, do you think?
Well, in my own work, I always work with their intelligence with tremendous respect for what they are and who they are. And I don't really look at killing them off permanently, but rather establishing a balance with them.
Or cutting a deal.
Yeah, it's like that's actually the way the ecosystem works. It's whether we're looking at our internal ecosystem, our internal psychological ecosystem, the external ecosystem. There's kind of a deal that happens always, and that they have a right to be here. They have an ecological function a great deal older than our own. And in working with them, respecting them and trying to understand their intelligence and their function and making relationship with them and basically setting limits on their behavior rather than trying to exterminate them. Any life form that you try to exterminate, it activates their desire to not be exterminated. Sure. But setting limits on their behavior is something that they understand a lot more. It's just a lot more effective.
Well,
so
yeah.
That's the way I look at it. I mean, really, and it's a way still part of that movement from cogito to sentio ergo sum, where there's a feeling connection with all the other life forms on the planet, an acceptance that we're only one life form in the circle of life, and also understanding that the span of our life is limited. We're here for a little while. We can do what we want with it, and hopefully we make the best of it so that we don't become the enemy of our souls, our memories, that we fulfill what we're here to do, and we do it as best we can and as honorably as we can. And then we also have the ability to begin to let go gracefully when our time begins to end. And that kind of recognition of that inevitability and not being terrified by it is, I think, one of the most important things that the elders can do for the young. I'm 62. I feel my time ending. I've got maybe 15 years. That's the way it is. So
come on, let's go for more.
Not like everybody says that.
I know,
like,
right?
Everybody knows how long they've got.
Really?
You know how long I've got. I've got about 15 years.
Oh, all right.
Okay, thank you. thank you for letting me have my own death.
Exactly. Excuse my bad manners. but also, I just want to, you said something so important that I spaced out, that I would like to invite you to say again, that the viruses are genomic weavers.
Just
put this on the altar of mystery again.
That's one of the things. We know so little about what goes on here, and very little of this is taught in school. I mean, Bucky Fuller said that the schools tend to run about 100 years behind the time. I found that to be correct. We aren't taught in school that everything is intelligent and aware. We're not taught about the wonder of viruses being genomic weavers or what that really means. It means that inside me there's plant DNA. It means they are literally my kin, not metaphorically my kin. And so that we are woven into this entire fabric of the earth, all part of that scenario, all part of that weave, all related, and that our job here is to learn how to express that, I believe, with a certain amount of balance and grace.
Hi, so we are here at the Visionary Activist Show. That was the two recently late great Stephen Buhner, and he's really handing to us this
baton. You know, what shall we do? It's the assignment that is being handed to us. And here with me is a great mentor and colleague of his, Sean Patrick O'Donohue. But anything you want to say, but I love the anarchist self-organizing community that he's pitching to us, which will be so important and crucial now as Pluto enters Aquarius. How shall we gather? And how shall we gather, like on this show and on this radio station as well, is part of our dynamic. So our entire offering today is to remind all of us what this show is a voice for, the intelligence of our flora, fauna, fungi, kingdom, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so we have dedicated voices guiding our rogue species to collaborative humility. And Stephen Buhner really did that, and we're offering his book, wonderful, Plant Intelligence in the Imaginal Realms, Beyond the Doors of Perception into the Dreaming of the Earth. It's fabulous. You'll hear us pitching it more even from that show, but it's so wonderful for a pledge of $150 or $15 a month, and we're offering many other wonderful things that I will introduce, briefly. The Intelligence of Our Flora, Fauna, Fungi Kingdom, the audio collection from the Visionary Activist Archives for a pledge of $100. It's two recordings, the shows with Stephen Buhner. They are so great. Four with mycologist Paul Stamets. Some you haven't heard before. Some were off record. Janine Benyus on biomimicry, Sally Cox on bonobos, Ben Goldfarb on beavers, Dan Flores on coyotes, Kristen Olson with stories of generosity and cooperation from our animal kin, you know, and we're offering her book as well, Sweet in Tooth and Claw, for a donation of $150 or $15 a month, all by calling 1-800-439-5732. That's 1-800-439-5732, or securely online at kpfa.org. Just when the banner comes up, click on the desired book or audio that you want. So the intelligence of our flora, fauna, fungi kingdom. When Stephen's speaking, it is so moving, maybe even more to yourself with so much interweaving, but to hear his playful profundity, it's wonderful, isn't it?
It really is. And one of the great geniuses that Stephen had with language was he would have this ability to draw on this vast, vast library of scientific knowledge and speak to the details from in a perspective that would convince the rationalists. But really what he was doing that whole time was kind of throwing a bone to the rational mind. So it would go off in a corner and gnaw on that bone. And once he knew that the rational mind was off in the corner gnawing on that bone, then he would drop into another place. Then he would enter into that bardic voice, enter into that voice that carried the echoes of the elders of the earth, and speak directly into the heart that transformed you without your entirely being aware of what was happening until after it had entered you. And it was such a profound, profound gift. And he also gave us such a profound gift in the way that he walked toward death. And it was something that he had cultivated for a long time. One of the first things I learned from him was he said, if you want to be involved in people's healing, you need to achieve an intimacy with death. Because if you make death your enemy, you can't accompany anybody on their healing journey. And he modeled that so profoundly, beautifully in his final years, struggling with a really, really difficult disease that takes away your breath and takes away your physical movement. And but from that space, he just really focused on completing the transmissions he needed to finish transmitting, and then gracefully surrounded by his human beloveds, going into the arms of his true love, the living earth, buried in the land where he had lived at the edge of the Aldo Leopold wilderness.
Which are very beautiful, spooky mountains, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, and to hear him speaking of death and me fending it off, right? Me going, oh, no, no, no. And he's going, no, come back here. Come back. Yeah, okay. Yes, thank you. Thank you. That's right. And, yeah, and he did finish writing his last book, which is sold out and on order, you know, which is it? Vegetalismo?
Becoming Vegetalista.
Ah, right. So we honor, you know, these mentors, super dedicated lives that we can feel ourselves etched against, you know, and I go, the antidote to dementors is mentors. You know, and you said that that Stephen had two mentors, and who were they in your mind?
Well, there are two human mentors I often heard him speak of. And then there's a third, not other than human mentor, I'll mention as well. So Robert Bly was a mentor of him, of his, connecting him deeply with the poetic tradition that braided together elements of Whitman and elements of Lorca. I loved, Stephen would often speak of Lorca's description of the moment of Duende, the moment when magic enters in as the moment of speaking words that have been baptized in dark water.
Hmm.
And he was mentored also by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, learning from her much about accompanying people through death and grief, and also much about her experience of the Holocaust that really informed his concerns about where our culture was going. But then the teacher who was his innermost teacher and his greatest teacher and his oldest teacher was the Claviceps purpurei, my Latin pronunciation is not so great, but the Claviceps fungus, the ergot fungus, who became his companion when introduced to its semi-synthetic extract, LSD, at Winterland in the Bay Area in the 1960s, and was given a great vision that remained with him throughout his life. And one clear core element of that vision was that these elder voices, these elder teachers, are far older than our species, that they do not exist only for us. They are an emergent part of the mind of Gaia, just as we are, but an older emergent part, and that many species knew them before us, and many species will know them after us, and that they are medicines that invite us to reweave back into that deep knowing of who we are as emergent blossomings of life.
Yeah. And, you know, mentors are rare, but I do, I liked asking Akaya Windwood and Bill McKibben, who are your mentors, and they both said, you know, trees, there's a tree, there's a particular tree I speak to every day. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's time for all of us, you know, to unfurl and relax as participatory animists, that everything's, you know, alive, and to, you know, connect. And Stephen was so much a part of that, that science is slowly proving folklore, right, as part of the dynamic. And then, you know, today we have a what's called a mutable T-square, the sun in Sagittarius at 23 Sagittarius, which was Nelson Mandela's rising sign. Its image is the blue bird of happiness perched on the gate of a little cottage. And it might sound quirky for Nelson Mandela's rising sign, but he knew, and I think Stephen knew, I mean, he knew he was going to be happy. It might be after 27 years on Robben Island. It might be after, mm-hmm. you know, a difficult marriage and then a good marriage. He knew he was going to be happy, and he kept that. And that's a gift to all of us here, and part of what this show and this station is for, going, there we go, dedicated, no matter what, we're, you know, and with knowledge, and then the moon in Virgo today honors all crafted people, all language crafting, all herb crafting people, the likes of yourself and the likes of Stephen. So here we are, and to keep, you know, this democratic animism, the intelligence of our flora, fauna, fungi kingdom, right, that dedicated voices to guide our rogue species and all of us to collaborative humility. And Stephen was very good at that, you know, about to humbly cooperate with nature's guiding genius. We've heard it so much, but we never more importantly than now, and how we model our human structures on that of nature, including our communities and how we gather and what we listen to. And here we are. So I just want to, again, encourage us. We are offering an audio collection, which includes the two radio shows with Stephen Buhner, who died last Thursday, and bequeaths to us so much. You know, when you say that Robert Bly was one of Stephen's mentors, I was like, oh, we didn't cross-pollinate that way. But we're all befoibled. We're all comprised of many stories. But Robert also was deeply etched. And as he said about Mary Del Lasur, a great poet in Minnesota, he said all the young women used to gather around her just to feel etched by her own dedication, a dedicated life. And then with all the people we're speaking of, some of whom are still living, but Stephen, who has gone into big mystery, to feel ourselves etched against his dedicated life. And that even the day before he died, he was posting on Facebook. It's such a quirky modern world, isn't it? And he also had been posting about how difficult it was to ask for money, right? And then finally he did, because the pressures were great, and the outpouring was generous. And he said, well, you know, my beloveds and I are so moved by this, because you've lifted pain and worry, non-useful pain and worry, off of us. We can clear our credit cards, and we can, you know, we can dedicate now to the profundity of dying. And in a similar way, we're asking you all to pledge to this place of meeting and convening that has hosted Sean Patrick O'Donohue many times, and Stephen Buhner, and Paul Stamets and Janine Benyus, and all the animals. You know, people often say, you know, my dog listens to your show. Pledge for your dog, pledge for your dog, pledge for all the creatures in your house, because we want to be a voice for them. And we go, that's great. And thank you, Anonymous. Thank you, Anonymous in Oakland, who pledged for Gabor Mate's The Myth of Normal. That's good. There are many, many wonderful things, so many wonderful things to pledge for as thank you gifts and incentives. And again, you know, how shall we derive from our, you mentioned, you know, LSD and ergot, a primary dedication also of this show and the whole realm of microdosing. The plants want to help us. And I guess that was, you know, a crucial part of Steve, how I first met Stephen, when he said, you know, I can walk around somebody's house and see what weeds are growing outside and diagnose the illness of the person inside, because the weeds are showing up to help them. And we go, right, mutual aid, anarchism, Kropotkin, that's so beautiful. So I love that part, you know, that it's participatory. Let's go to a very short clip two, and we'll come in on the other side of that.
So many important things. Everybody should get this book, Plant Intelligence in the Imaginal Realm. In a sense, every sufferer evolves his or her own strain of virus, and within each sufferer, the strain is not a single viral genome, but a swarm of thousands of related. And then it goes on into ever greater fabulousnesses, which is why everybody needs this book. But yes, how intriguing. So there's a customization that goes on.
Viruses and bacteria, both, their genome is in constant flux, and they can change it pretty much at will. They're really adaptable that way. They change both their form and their behavior as their genome changes, and their adaptability is far exceeds our own. So that's one of the things, you know, if we're looking at Lyme disease or any of the co-infections or we're working with that dynamic, their genomes are so much in flux when they go into the human body. Each swarm finds a unique ecological system in each different person, and so they begin altering their genome, and they create or generate, you know, multiple variants of themselves. So antibiotics may kill off some of them, but they don't kill off all of them. So it needs a much different approach. There's a more subtle, kind of sophisticated conversation that begins to emerge between the healer, the plants, and the person who's involved in getting well in that journey to wellness. And it's a very sophisticated communication, which involves a tremendous amount of feeling or heart perception to be able to sense the movements of the viruses or bacteria as they begin to alter their swarm and their identity. It's much more of an art form, and it can't be really reduced down to rational reductionistic mechanics as a lot of people in the medical world would like it to be. It's really outside of their frame of reference.
Right. And so even then in that show, we were pitching his wonderful book, Plant Intelligence in the Imaginal Realms, Beyond the Doors of Perception into the Dreaming of the Earth by Stephen Herod Buhner. We're listening to Stephen's voice. I'm here with his colleague and friend and mentoree, Sean Patrick O'Donohue. And we are magnetizing contributions, which would be so great right now. We have so many things to give, but to give, you know, that Stephen Buhner's voice and the likes of himself, the likes of Paul Stamets, the likes of Sean Patrick O'Donohue, the likes of Kristen Olson. Again, so we're offering Stephen's book, Plant Intelligence, The Imaginal Realms, for a donation of $150 or $15 a month. We're offering Beaverland, How One Weird Rodent Made America, by Lila Philip, our guest from last week, a donation of $150, $15 a month. Kristen Olson's fabulous book, Sweet in Tooth and Claw. Again, her interview is included in our audio thing for a pledge of $150. And then this really great audio collection, if I do say so, you could give it to somebody for Christmas or Solstice, The Intelligence of Our Flora, Fauna, Fungi Kingdom, Dedicated Voices Guiding Our Rogue Species to Collaborative Humility. So it's two recordings with Stephen Buhner and four with mycologist Paul Stamets and Janine Benyons and Sally Cox and bonobos and Bed Goldfarb on beavers and Dan Flores on coyotes and Kristen Olson with stories of generosity and cooperation. So all or any of those can be yours by calling 800-439-5732 or pledging securely online, kpfa.org. You know, and as you know, any amount, you know, you get Howard Zinn recording, Bob Balduck recording, Jennifer Stone recording, just for anything, $5, $10, $20, $500, anything like that. So, So back to your wonderful self, Sean. So in what he's saying, you know, complexity, that the genome in constant flux, that each bacteria or virus that comes to us changes inside us, is that part of your, it's an ongoing conversation?
Absolutely. And the other aspect that he spoke about, again, in that wonderful way where he could address the rationalist science and then once it was out of the way, drop into the necessary poetry, is the fact that that is true of plant chemistry as well. We have this fiction in the world of herbalism that, usnea has this amount of usnic acid in it. And that's just like saying this person has this amount of cortisol in their body, and therefore humans have this amount of cortisol in their body. Our chemistries, the chemistry of everything alive, is constantly shifting, subtly shifting in response to everything. And life all speaks that same underlying rhythmic chemical and electromagnetic language, so we recognize the changes in other beings. Stephen would speak of plant compounds as earth poetry, that the plants were releasing these complex chemical sweets that our bodies received as poetry, that then changed for us the meaning of what it was to be an embodied being in this world, in this moment. And he taught a simple and profound practice, so simple that many people missed how profound it was, that was at the heart of everything and has become one of the most important pieces that I work with when working with people's healing journeys, which was to open the way to the medicine, to open the way to the conversation by simply bringing awareness to the beating of your heart, not to the idea that your heart is beating, but to feeling your physical heartbeat. And then to remember that in every moment of your life, your heart has beat for you without your needing to ask it to, without your needing to think, and to give gratitude to your heart, and to truly give that gratitude. And that changes everything.
That's great. And it's so crucial to where we are right now. My colleague Pat Ewing, with whom we were convening Election Magic Council, which was pretty darn good and even effective, but she said the antonym, what is the antonym of grievance? And she goes, gratitude. And grievance is different than grief. I think it prevents grief. And always turning to wonderful Terry Pratchett and the fantastic book I Shall Wear Midnight, which is so politically, spiritually pertinent to us all right now. But the young girl witch says, when people are full of, you know, kind of lonely anger, grievance, you know, then the cunning man can fill their hearts with poison and vituperative, you know, kind of everything. It's like, right. And the antonym to all of that is gratitude and participating in the generous, you know, the whole realm of Jupiter says, you know, what is the one way of relating to the world and everything and everyone in it that is guaranteed replenishing and never depleting? And Jupiter says, blessing and gratitude. So it's essential for democracy, right, and for healing any of our fellow citizens who've been infected by vituperative, poisonous, you know, whatever it is, we don't even need to say whatever. May all beings be released. And also, thank you, wonderful Delia in Albany, who pledged for the intelligence of our flora, fauna, fungi kingdom by the Visionary Activist Archives. That's so wonderful, right? And we just want to because what you're bringing up, what Stephen Buhner brought up, and we're especially honoring him this hour, this fun drive, this now, you know, you said science and poetry, you know, to reunite what's been falsely estranged, you know, like thinking and feeling, they like each other. You know, science and poetry, they go together, as you said, the plant compounds as earth poetry, you know, and this crucial participatory radio. I mean, part of what I value about the many great allies on this show and the many great dedicated listeners is it is participatory. I know from the 26 years that we've been on the air with the Visionary Activist Show that it's not just this hour. You know, people connect and they do things and they hear about things and they participate. Right? What makes us passive is toxic. What makes us active is tonic. So participatory herbalism, participatory, you know, radio. So we are encouraging and magnetizing participatory, that it is a wonderful time, you know, to honor grief, but compost grievance, you know, and gratitude, blessing, you know, if there's anything that is resonant, you know, in the 26 years of allies that we've been offering here at the Visionary Activist Show, then pledging would be so wonderful. 800-439-5732 or kpfa.org online. But yeah, participatory, you know, and that's the, you know, participatory is a great word, you know, in even in the astrological realm. I'm kind of a heretic. Well, we're all heretics, right? Remember, it was a term of praise in early Christianity because it meant cross-pollinating contributor to culture so that knowledge never became dogma, right? So participatory astrology, participatory biology, participatory radio, participatory herbalism, you know, everything, participatory democracy, it's a it, you know, and so much, you know, it's not, the question really is not, and forevermore not, what's going to happen, which is very passive. It's what's available with which to cooperate. You know, and your work, Sean, and Stephen Buhner's work is like, there's so much with which to cooperate. And anything that comes along our way, you know, is a way to cooperate. Well, let's go to our last clip, and then we will be even more effectively magnetizing. So here's our last clip, number 3.
Dorian Sagan had this great saying, goes, on Earth, there is no escape from global ecology.
Right.
So it doesn't matter what our frame of reference is. When things begin to get destabilized to that degree, then population pressures begin to collapse from whatever reason or whatever motivation. And it's just the sort of, it's sort of the steamroller of history that we ourselves are living under at this time. And all of us have to deal with it one way or another, but nothing can make it go away.
Right. And this is so important, again, for to waft into the memosphere of collective human intelligence and kinship right now to calm the hysteria. Because the, to go back to, you know, antibiotics, and I want to come back to viruses and everything too, you know, and the limited repertoire of human reaction to these things. So I don't know about you, but there have been times when antibiotics were really useful. Andy Weil says, you know, we don't approve of the theory, but sometimes, you know, you've used antibiotics in your life.
I have in the past. They've actually been helpful for me once, and they were unhelpful for me many other times.
Right, because you have to replace the entire civilization of bacteria in our
skin. And the thing is, there's other options to that. We just didn't pursue them because we were so enamored with chemistry and our technological superiority. So, I mean, Andy Weil can say whatever he wants about it, but the thing, what's really true is that...
No, he's your friend. He agrees with you completely.
So anyway, but we erected this giant wall around the human species made of antibiotics, essentially. And every year, the amount of energy we have to put into that wall, it's larger and larger and larger and larger. It's exactly the same as the use of pesticides on crops. That puts a wall against around our food so that we can grow more of it. But every year, the energy that has to be put into maintaining that wall increases until it's beyond the capability of the civilization to supply enough energy to keep the wall up, and then it's going to come down. So it doesn't really matter. Like, if we had never used antibiotics except in really extreme cases, then we could have used them forever. But they use them for everything.
Right. There we have that. Right, so you're listening to the Visionary Activist Show. That was Stephen Buhner, who died last Thursday, but whose dedication and life lives on, and whom we are honoring with his colleague, Sean Patrick O'Donohue, this hour. And we're also, you know, so much of what he's dedicated to, and many of the guests on this show for the last 26 years, holy moly, you know, are about expanding our repertoire of response. By expanding our repertoire of response on every level, physical, metaphoric, linguistic, you know, is to ally with nature's evolutionary genius. So more and more ways of being, you know, and that's really what we're dedicated to and what we want to fill ourselves up with, so that everything becomes a freedom and a choice. I could use this word or for others. I could respond this way. And the idea of also of response, you know, and then when Stephen says we've erected a giant wall around our species, and this is really, let me toss it back to you, Sean. You know, it's like they want to widen the beltway near house, you know, going make it 4, 5, 8 lanes, you know, and what are you going to do? What are you going to do in 5 years? Make it more until it's... So we want this cyclical foresight, right? This so important, and this embraced animism without cringing, right? And
so, what do you think? Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, that's all right. That's okay. Let me thank Anonymous and Novato. Thank you very much, Anonymous and Novato. Thanks, Carolyn Casey. Apologies if I spelled your name wrong. You did, but no problem at all. Caroline, that's great. So So what should we do to magnetize the leprechaun pot of gold, Sean? How shall we encourage our dedicated listeners? Here's more. That's really great. Thank you, Ross in Los Angeles. Bless your heart. It's working. So how shall we engage in money wealth magic, Sean? Honoring Stephen. Yeah.
I think that's exactly what we're doing. I think about how presence is medicine. And presence is medicine that echoes out through the air, and how KPFA has been a presence in a community for a long, long time, speaking essential truths, even when that was greatly unpopular, even when that was dangerous, and sending words out into the air in the same way that all of life is sending the message of its way of being out into the air through the way the electromagnetic fields of our hearts pull on everything, the way in which our pheromones mingle with the exhalations of plants and become molecules of emotion that other beings breathe in. Here we have a wonderful technology for amplifying what we put out into the air and helping it to travel further.
Right. And there's so much before us, really, that we want to gather our woof and our wits and our expanded repertoire of ways of responding and our knowledge base, because it makes us increasingly effective storytellers and communicators. And also to reference back to Stephen Buhner's really honorable, dedicated life, and what he hands to us with emphasis, with exclamation marks, is to pledge, you know, to be a voice and an effective agent on behalf of what we love in nature, the part of us in nature with which we feel kinned, and we will be its advocate and its agent in the cultural human world. And I think, you know, we say, you know, a ritual is simply any physical thing that we do that we imbue with dedicated symbolism, and it gathers more woof with the dedication. So in that sense, I do, without being hokey at all, want to invite and magnetize our dedicated listeners, and even the non-dedicated listeners, to pledge on behalf of what you love. You know, in one's heart, you call 800-439-5732, or pledge online, kpfa.org. And in one's heart, you go, this is for coyotes, this is for the ocean, this is for herbalists, this is for, you know, a self-organizing community, this is for humans learning this and that, this is for, yeah, all of that. So again, we're humming. And thanks so much to the wonderful people who have pledged already, but we really want more. There we go. And it is challenging. And Stephen Buhner, at the end of his life, said, I never asked for money, but now I need to. And people did pour forth. And he said, that so helped. It transcended any opinions I had about money. It was so community support. And that's also really what we're talking about, which is, you know, community of reciprocal blessing. And who brought what to this renaissance? And that we all hone our skills and our gifts. You know, Stephen was very adamant about that. There's even more beautiful excerpts that we didn't play from his two shows. But he says, you know, for all of us to cultivate and contribute our gifts in the time that is allotted to us, and that time is precious. And so we again exhort and go, all right, come on, team. I'll just go through the many fantastic things. There's wonderful things, you know. Oh, bless your heart, Cindy. Love, the visionary activist. I love you too in Trinity Center, California. Yes, that gives me, it gives us hope to continue. There are many wonderful things from past things. Well, you can see there's water filters, there's a people's history of the United States. You get the recording no matter what of Howard's Inn for any amount, $5. All of it is sacred, you know. And we go, and the Activist Media Handbook, Lessons from 50 Years as a Progressive Agitator by David Fenton, pretty cool, for a pledge of $30 a month. And it goes on. There's just KPFA water bottle, there's swag, okay. But what we're concentrating on here really is the one of the primary dedications, using all herbs, all entheogens, all everything, all knowledge, all poetry, all science, to become more effective players on the team of creation. By cultivating ourselves. And this is a rich realm, KPFA and the Visionary Activist Show, of a, you know, of cross-pollinating, that there's great wealth. You know, Jupiter says define wealth. It's not limited to money, but it doesn't exclude money either. You know, and how shall we be dedicated to circulating wealth? I very much like Reverend Ike from long ago. He said, don't use the word spend with money, because that's exhausted. Use the word circulate. I circulated some money. So we're inviting everybody to circulate some money. And that brings up Marge Piercy's wonderful poem, you know, an honoring of wild money, you know, come money. You know, I will rub my hands with honey and run through the vaults of banks. Try that. come money and build. You will not be, imprisoned in dark, clanking trust funds or evil corporate whatever. No, soon you'll be free to join others of your kind. Come money and build a murmuring swarm in my purse, says she. Come build a surprising murmuring swarm in KPFA's pockets, that it may continue to do good, that this show also may continue its dedication of participatory democracy, participatory democratic animism, and, you know, host Sean Patrick O'Donohue and host the many, many late great people, Stephen Buhner, is whom we're particularly honoring. He had so much to contribute, and we did, you know, exhort that his great book, which is The Intelligence of Our Flora Fauna, well, it's Plant Intelligence, for a pledge of $150, or $15 a month, and then also the book Beaverland, last week's guest, How One Weird Rodent Made America, really great, $150 a month. Book Sweet and Tooth and Claw by Kristen Olson, donation of $150 or $15 a month. And then just to run down quickly, right, our audio collection that my great teammate Aaron and I put together, it's really good from our archives. So it's two recordings with herbalist Stephen Buhner. We've excerpted some from those two shows, but it was a challenge because the whole shows are really great. Four shows with mycologist Paul Stamets. I was his first radio show, like, ever. We're going back to when he wasn't really that well known, but still brilliant, and now he's a big deal thing. Janine Benyus on biomimicry. I still quote from that interview. So useful. Sally Cox and her work with the bonobos. To save anything, become like it. You know, to save, to protect bonobos, you know, become like a bonobo. To protect water, become like a bonobo. Do anything to become a bonobo. Right, and then that's so wonderful. Robin in Sonoma, oh, you've made our day, you blessed person, with a really great pledge. Whoa, that's wonderful. Magic number. Pledge, it's a challenge, a pledge challenge to the Visionary Activist Show. So she's pledging for the intelligence of our flora fauna kingdom, wonderful, wonderful things, and also fantastic fungi, how mushrooms can heal, shift, and consciousness, save the planet by fault, and the myth. She pledged for a lot, but it is a pledge, and a challenge to match this. So she pledged, oh, and somebody else, Doug in Oakland, we're doing okay. We're looking like grown-ups. Thank you, team. Coming in at the last moment, take the zircon to FAPA and tell him we move tonight. Positive intrigue is moving people. That's good. Wonderful. The magic numbers. Join this swarm. All right. Come, bees, build a murmuring swarm of honey in KPFA's purse. There you go. It's looking pretty good. So that's wonderful. And Doug in Oakland pledged for this wonderful book, Plant Intelligence, the Imaginal Realm, Beyond the Doors of Perception, Into the Dreaming of the Earth by Stephen Herod Buhner. Bless his heart. And the clips that we played and the shows that are included in that, you know, it's well, you said that when you heard of his death and you were deeply there, but you did listen to these shows that night, right?
I listened to them the next morning. The very next morning, I put on these shows so that I could have his voice echoing in the room, his voice that reaches so deeply into the core of the being of everyone who listens.
Yeah, and his voice and his laughter and his playfulness and his profundity and his orneriness on occasion, right? We're all many things. We're all many things. So that's super great. And how do you feel in your dedicated heart how do you feel your dedication increased by his life and his departure?
Wow. Well, you know, it's never a choice of whether we're cooperating or not. We're always cooperating. The question is whether we are cooperating with that which would divide everything into inert resources for the use of our culture, or whether we're cooperating with life itself. And Stephen helped me to realize that deeply. And in so many ways, I had tried to sabotage myself to make myself smaller because I didn't want to be part of what was around me. And he helped me see how when we step into who we are, we change everything. We bless everything.
Okay. We're gonna sally that forth. We're at the final moments here, but let me do one more exhortation and a great thank you to everybody who pledged, and you can still pledge, right, for many, many gifts. Again, Stephen's wonderful book. We have three wonderful books online, but Plant Intelligence for a pledge of $150, or the audio collection, which is pretty fantastic, for a pledge of $100. It's 11 recordings, you know, all to support our dedication, you know, to dreaming and implementing the desirable world into being. So again, 1-800-439-5732 or kpfa.org online. This is the last day of Fund Drive for the Visionary Activist Show. So pledge now. Again, 800-439-5732. Next week's guest is Sophie Strand. So pledge for the future guests and the past guests and the ongoing thing. And, you know, this is our village. You know, our village of ingenuity, our Renaissance Council, you know, from whom we derive, you know, knowledge and inspiration to go forth, again, participatory in the world, because we're heading into, you know, the horrible danger. The worst danger was managed. Now we have manageable danger. Thanks you so much, Kristen Thomas, wonderful board up, and the whole team at KPFA, and thank you, great colleague, Sean Patrick O'Donohue, for being such a profound good sport, and for the love of wonderful Stephen Buhner. All praise to him, and we seek his help, really, and these wonderful shows that we're offering, 1-800-439-5732 or kpfa.org online. I'm Caroline Casey. We will reconvene next week with Sophie Strand. Woof. Thank you, team.